Bibles. Today I want to go to Hebrews 11, if you have a Bible. And let me mention as well, next Sunday we have our healing school at 9 a.m. So if you're on that journey of receiving healing for yourself or maybe helping somebody else, we have once a month have a healing rooms that meets here 9 a.m. in the church. Good. Hebrews 11. Let's pray. Can we do that? Lord, we love you, we bless you, and we again welcome you here this day. Lord, we love the way you take truth and you wrap it up in grace and you give it to us. And Lord, I pray today that you will take truth and ignite it on the tablets of our heart. Lord, I pray that you lead us into truth and that truth would lead us into freedom this day. Lord, we accept the challenge that you throw out in your word to us this day. And I pray that you'll help us to hear and respond to that truth in Jesus' name. Amen. So we've been speaking for about 10 weeks now about vision. Say vision. Hallelujah. This is the last week of vision. Oh, no. But well, maybe. But come on, we've been saying that we have a God who sees. Do you know, I think God is teaching the church to see as he sees. I think sometimes we think seeing is a natural thing. Well, everybody sees, you know, unless you open your eyes and you see. It's possible to see. Jesus said again and again, you see, but you do not perceive. You hear, but you don't understand. And I think God wants us to see as he sees. It's interesting. I've been going on a journey, and I'm talking about that more next week, about evangelism and winning souls recently. And a few weeks ago, I was actually in Florida when the Lord said this to me. The Lord said to me, Graham, I want you to see the lost like I see them. And it really kind of cut to the quick. And I said, Lord, are you saying I don't? And he said, no. You know, God wants us to see people the way he sees them. And just be honest, we all have this tendency. We look at people. The Bible says God looks not on the outward appearance, but he looks at the heart. But the church, we can't help it in a way, but every time we see somebody, we do make judgments about them, don't we? You're all looking at my tie this morning going like, oh, it's very... whatever. It's not wrong that we do that, and quite often our judgments are right, but how many of you know quite often our judgments are wrong? Yeah. I have this trick I've been playing with the Lord recently. When I'm out sort of sharing my faith, praying for people, occasionally I'll see somebody and go, oh, I'm not talking to them. I've decided I'm going to go straight to that person. And it's amazing how often they're the nicest people you ever meet. And I think God wants to teach us to see as he sees. I've been really challenged recently, and you don't need to go there, but do you remember when the rich young ruler came to Jesus? And he comes in a way full of self-righteousness. I've kept all the commandments. I've done this. I've done that. I've honored my father. And the Bible says Jesus looked at him and loved him. You know, I think one of the greatest soul-winning tools we could ever get would be to look, before we ever go, is to look at somebody and love them. I mean, actually, really, that's some mother's son, some father's daughter, isn't it? That's somebody that it's not another notch in our belt or a little video testimony or whatever. That's somebody's prayed for them 1,000 times probably, somewhere along the line. Somewhere along the generations. And I think the Lord wants us to see through his eyes. And again, I love saying that. God is wonderful, but he's strange. Yeah, he's strange. God is not British. Turn to your neighbor and say, thank God. And he's not American either, y'all. He comes from a different country. Heaven looks at things completely differently than we do. Heaven looks at every sit. God looks at everything and says, oh, I can do that. We look at something and go, ooh, there's a problem there. Heaven looks and goes, yeah, we can do that. We can manage that. We look at our nation, you know, the nations, the problems, whatever. You see, God looks through the eye of promise, looks through the eye of possibility. He looks through the eye of love. He looks through the eye of hope. One of the things I love in Hebrews 11 is that it's, to some degree, God rewrites people's stories in Hebrews 11. You get all of these dodgy characters all throughout the Bible who did a lot of good and some really dumb things. I want to talk about Abraham in a minute. Abraham made some colossal mistakes. I mean, really big mistakes. You switch on the news every night, you're still seeing the ongoing effects of Abraham's mistakes in the Middle East, all those kind of things, yeah? And yet God, through the eyes of faith, it's like God didn't ignore those things, but God saw promise. And I think God wants us to be a people of vision. And I don't like talking about vision because it's like we'll get a little PowerPoint, we'll try to be positive and hoorah, and that I don't think that's really what God means by vision. I think God wants to give us a vision of our life on the earth that absolutely explodes on the inside of us. I think God wants the church to be possessed by promise. I think God wants the church to be possessed by hope. I think it's Bill Johnson who says, the person with the most hope is the person with the most influence. Isn't that good? You know, I know that's a dangerous thing to say, but when your memories are greater than your hopes, you're in decline. You're beginning to die. You're beginning to wind down. And no matter how many wonderful memories you've had and experiences, I tell you, God wants you full of hope. May the God of hope fill you with joy and peace in believing his promises, Paul said. And I think the Lord wants us to be a people possessed by hope. So again, part of my prayer today, I want to look at the story of Abraham, but Lord, teach us to see as you see. And I think God takes the church on a journey. I think learning to see is a process
cheese.
It's a process. God takes us, saves us, makes us new, and then he takes us on this journey where we learn to unsee. Come on, just this will make sense in a moment. But if you think about it, when we forget something, how many of you forget things at times?
Okay. Yeah.
I am a great list maker. And then I forget where I put my list, you know. Like, I don't trust myself to... You know, wherever I go, I travel a lot, go to Europe, I've got like a list of things I run through because I've learned what happens when you don't do that. You know, when we forget things, it's a bug. When God forgets things, it's a feature. When we forget things, it's like, oh, getting old, forgot something. Do you know God can't forget anything naturally. He sees everything that's ever happened, and yet he chooses to forget things. He chooses to put away things. He says, your sins and your lawless deeds, I will remember no more. When God forgets things, it's an act of intention. You'll see verses in the Bible like the Lord remembered his covenant with Abraham. It's not like he forgot it. It's an act of his will. It's an act of his volition. And I think what we need to learn to do in the church is to forgive and forget by an act of will. Not like, well, you hurt me, but in 20 years' time, I probably will have got over it. No, that's natural. And even if you get over it up here, it's still often lingering down there. You can choose as an act of your will to forgive, to forget. But you can also choose as an act of your will to remember, to recall, to bring out the important things in your life and say, I'm going to engage my heart with these for a season. Hallelujah. Have you found Hebrews yet? Come on. I want to have fun this morning. Is that okay? Hebrews 11, verse 1. It says, now. Say now. Now, I'm sort of messing with the grammar here, but every time you talk about faith, you should talk about now. I know it's not exactly what that word means in that context. In a way, he's actually saying now, because of what we just talked about in Hebrews 10, but it's still true. God's a God of the now. The church is in love with yesterday and tomorrow. When Jesus came to the tomb of Lazarus, Lazarus had two sisters, Martha and Mary. One says, if you would have been here, you could have done something. The other sister says, Jesus says, your brother will rise. The other sister says, oh, I know he'll rise on the last day in the future. One is looking at the God of yesterday. The other is looking at the God of tomorrow. And Jesus' answer was, I am the resurrection and the life. We serve the I am, not the I was, not the I will be. God's the I am. Sometimes it can take God 10 years to get me or you ready for his now. But he's a God of the now. Now faith is the substance. Do you know faith isn't this ethereal, like floaty, oh, I was in a parking lot yesterday and I went to somebody and said, are you in pain? They're like, yes. I said, can we pray for you? They said, well, it hasn't come to that. It was like, that's the last resort. When cocaine no longer works, you can try prayer. You know, like, what do we? God should be the first thing. And faith isn't this floaty, you know, like, well, oh, you know. Faith is substance. Faith is solid. When Jesus walked on water, I was speaking about the last week, he walked on the word of God more than walked on water. You can see the disciples saying, ooh, that's dangerous. No, it's more dangerous to be in a boat than it is to be on the word of God. Being on the word of God, you're on a sure thing. You're on a solid thing. Faith is the substance of the things we hope for, the evidence of things not seen. Does anybody have a classic amplified? Oh, it's okay. You have one with you there? Can I borrow that? Where were we? Yeah, I'll give you back to you. Come on, this is the classic. It says now, faith is the insurance, the confirmation, the title deed. Say title deed. The title deed of the things we hope for, being the proof of the things we do not see, the conviction of their reality. Faith perceiving as a real fact that which is not yet revealed to the senses. I get high reading that. Faith is the insurance, the confidence. Any of you got a title deed for your car? Do you know, if you've got the title deed, even if you don't have the car, it's yours. It's legally yours. When I first came to America, I didn't understand the difference in a registration and a title deed. Oh, it's a piece of paper. No, one is just throw away, you get it. The other, it's your vehicle. You've got the title deed. Faith is the title deed. Faith perceiving as a real fact that which is not yet revealed to the senses. Hallelujah. Come on, guys. I want to challenge you today. God wants to take us on a journey where faith isn't this weird, floaty thing that some people have. And it's the faith isn't like, oh, maybe a gift. Maybe God will anoint me and give me more faith. We can learn the ways of God. We can learn the ways of faith. If you want to grow your faith, grow the time you spend in this book. I can usually judge how much faith somebody's got. Not judge in a critical way, but how much of God's word lives on the inside. How much do they have their nose in this book? Faith doesn't come by praying for faith, begging for faith. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God, Romans 10:17. I'm doing well. I've read one verse. For by faith the elders obtained a good testimony. Can I say that? If you're not a man or woman of faith, you won't have a good testimony. It's interesting. It's different language, but do you know so much of what, especially like a kind of younger generation, seeks and pursues these days? It's like a sort of our Gen Z in a way. The carrot we dangle in front of them, more than money, a lot of them want to be known. It's like the social media thing, want to be an influencer, want a reputation, I want followers, I want influence or whatever. In a way, it's the same thing as having a good testimony. And I tell you, the way to get a good testimony is to be a man or woman of faith. The Bible says, follow those who through faith and patience inherit promises. If you're a man or woman of faith, sooner or later, somebody will want to hear what you've got to say. If you're a man or woman of faith, sooner or later, your kids will work out like, good stuff happens to you that doesn't happen to other people. I remember my neighbor in France coming to me, and he said, I've been watching you and Leah, and you guys are really lucky. He said, would you pronounce some luck over me? I said, absolutely. It's called the favor of God. I said, repent, and God will give you all the grace. And right now, but come on, it's by faith we obtain a good testimony. And sometimes you've got to go through a journey where it looks like you're being falsely accused or nobody's recognizing you. God's told you you're going to be king of Israel and your own men want to stone you. That's what happened to David. And yet David refused to manufacture his own reputation. He was a man of faith. Hallelujah. Do you know, I think God, track with me, guys. Like, I really mean this. I'm not being emotional or cute. I honor my father-in-law's testimony. I think I put his name in my book there with a few other people of great value to my life. And my point is like, hallelujah, he being dead yet speaks. And we should be ready to go to heaven tomorrow or today or yesterday in his case. But we should also be ready, if Jesus is not coming back for another 100 or 1,000 years, to leave a good testimony. To pass on more than a bunch of debt we borrowed from China to run the credit card and throw money to get people to vote for us. Sorry, that's my politics kind of singing out. But my point is that's not, God wants us to, a good man leaves an inheritance for his children's children. And again, I'm all for leaving money and motorcycle. Who gets my motorcycle? Whatever. My point is the best inheritance you get is your faith. I was saying this to Leah yesterday. It's funny. Oh, there she is. Oh, okay. Let's move on. Oh, no. Can you go out again and just do something? I'm kidding. It's funny. My father went to heaven 12 years ago. I was actually staying in Steve and Linda's home at the time in Connecticut in 2012. And just this week, I was doing some repairs and working on a hard drive, you know, a storage unit in my thing. And I started looking through some family photos and family files. That I'll be honest, I think this is what I said to Leah. It's like I'm only just beginning to be able to look at some of these things because they, you know, they hurt, but they hurt in a good way. And it's funny, I actually found a bunch of recordings my dad left to my kids. I don't know. They probably heard them way back. I don't think they probably heard them for years in that sense. Or I know my dad probably, when he knew like he's about 6 months away from going to heaven, said like, I'm going to record the Bible, the New Testament for my grandkids and great-grandkids and just like read it in my own voice. I know you can get an awesome recording, but I want to do it in my own voice and share like things God has said to me. And that's like, isn't that good? My point is not my dad. My point is, my point is you and I. By faith, they left a good testimony. Yeah. Let's not get so much into, like, who you're going to vote for in the fall. And, like, yeah, I mean, vote. I'm not. There are things that are important, but they're not that important. In the next 6 months, you're going to hear a load of people say, this is the most important election we've ever had. And in 4 years' time, you're going to hear, this is the most important election we've ever had. And then 4 years' time, and it's true in a sense. But don't fight small battles. They talk about a lion. You know, lions, like a lion, love to eat mice. But for a lion to catch a field mouse, a mouse, it expends more calories in catching the mouse than is in the mouse. You see what I'm saying? It's a silly battle to win. To put that big frame and run, that expends more caloric content than a little mouse has. My point is, let's not spend our lives chasing mice. Let's serve the purpose of God in our generation. Let's be people of faith who leave a good testimony. Thank you, Jesus. Again, I want to challenge you and some of us. So I'll include some of us who are getting a little older. You know, the world in which we live in has a vision for the, let's call it those senior years of your life. In 2016, I went to Fort Worth for the first time to hear, there's a convention there. The person I really wanted to hear was Jerry Sabell, who's always been a hero of mine. And I think it's in 2016, I want to get the recording of this. Jerry Sabell preached a message on, forgive me if the title, he had a different title, but it was basically how to get older well, how to do that season of life well. And his whole point was people will come to you and say, well, you know, your income's going to go down now. Your health's going to fall apart. You won't have any energy. And, you know, you're in a season where you've got to look and let's let the youngsters. And he's like, no. And, you know, he just talked about just stepping into everything God had for him. And not just accepting the value system and the vision of the world. Can I tell you guys, you were at the, you know, in one way, the Bible says the path of the just is like the shining light that gets brighter and brighter until the noonday. That means the end of our course should be like the noonday sun. Not it wanes and wanes, and at the end we stagger out like some broken car. We should go out in a blazing flame of glory. Hallelujah. And I tell you, having a good testimony, you know, with those around you, with the community you live in, I mean, with the wider world, absolutely, but it's, I'm less impressed what somebody on the internet who you've never met thinks about you than the people who actually know you and see you and hang out with you, and that's what really counts, isn't it? Sometimes people will come to me and say, who's your covering? I go, you are. Serious. Maybe I've got a certificate and part of a group, but that, how much that actually means versus the real people you walk and talk with and see your testimony. And my point is, it's we've got to be people of faith. Right, I've read two verses. We're doing really well. Verse 3, by faith we understand. By faith we understand. Say, by faith we understand. Evangelicals, we've turned that verse around. We've said, if we can understand enough, we'll get faith. We try to understand our way into faith. We've sort of set the church up in the West. It says, if we can learn enough facts and figures and knowledge in Greek and Hebrew, if we can understand, then we'll get faith. No, it's by faith you understand. You didn't come to Jesus because you understood everything in the book of Romans. You came to Jesus because the Holy Spirit opened your blind eyes and you fell on your knees and said, amazing grace. Now, having stepped into faith, you begin understanding. You begin reading through Romans and going, that's what happened to me. All have sinned. Yep, that was me. Yeah, having been declared righteous, that's me. You then begin to unpack and understand what you've already got. But it's not head first, it's heart first. By faith, we understand that the worlds were framed by the Word of God. Oh, I love this. Do you know everything in this universe was framed by God's Word? We can play some little game of what was before this and what was before that and, you know, how old is the earth and whatever. I don't care. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. Yeah, and I don't have to squeeze the Bible to fit science. It's amazing how science, the more they open it, the more it actually fits the Bible. And I tell you, in the beginning, God said, let there be light. In French, it says, God said, que la lumière soit. It's like God said, light be. And the same God who spoke, and, you know, it was that new telescope they just put at the James Webb, that we can't count the trillions of galaxies in the universe. What if we're just looking at the universe we think we see is like one grain of the sand on the seashore? God is so much bigger. And in our arrogance, we think we've got God completely worked out. That's like an ant coming and looking at the internet and going, oh, I think I've understood this all now, you know. Move over, ChatGPT, I've arrived. And hallelujah. Can I tell you, though, when we become a man or a woman of faith, we do understand. God's not saying, like, work me out, you'll never do it. But he's saying, come and believe my word. Come and believe my promises. Come and walk with me. Come and become a man or woman of faith. and you'll understand that everything I made is framed by my word. But listen to me, guys. Everything in your life and my life is meant to be framed by God's word as well. God wants your life and my life, I mean the structures of our life, the things our life are built upon, not to be framed by, you know, capitalism, socialism, this ism, that ism, but to be framed, to be built by the word of God. By faith we understand, turn the page, that the worlds were framed by the word of God, so that things which are seen, say things which are seen, things which are seen were not made of things which are visible. I know that's a bit of a mouthful, and I don't understand why the writer to the Hebrews wrote it that way, but if you read that verse a few times, you'll get what he's saying. The writer to Hebrews says, the things that we can see were not made by things we can see. Everything you can see was made by something you can't see. Everything visible, everything tangible, came from something that can't be seen. And he's telling us what the can't be seen thing is. Everything in this universe comes from the word of God. And everything God's ever going to do in our life will come from the word of God. And for us to be a people of vision, again, here's my vision of vision. Here's my vision of a life of vision. It's not that we try and be a positive, what's my vision for this church? And we're going to go to this and we're going to do that. And like, yeah, amen. And we'll get a little logo and a tagline and all that. Like, hey man, I'm nothing against those things. Do you know, God's got a dream that we can't catch. God is a dreamer. God's got a dream for your life and my life, which is glorious. I actually think if my dad or Leah's dad or a lot of your dads could come down for a moment, I know they can't and we shouldn't try to talk to them. Like David said, they won't come to us, but one day we will go to them. But if they would come down, what would they say? What would they say? Now, you may not believe that, but there's a great guy in Florida called Keith Moore, and a real man of God, really is. You know, a few years ago, the Lord took him to heaven, and he had a conversation with his dad. Now, you cannot believe that. I respect your right to do that. I do because of his integrity and whatever. And he talks about, I don't mean in a vision, I don't mean in a dream. I mean literally like God, you know. And he talks about having a conversation with his father who'd passed away. And in a way, he's like, he's saying he was at such a disadvantage. His father was younger than he was. And his father's talking about his, Keith, this pastor in Florida, so, you know, his journey, his course, his mission, his commission, the things he's got to accomplish and, you know, the things he's done, where he now is, the future. But for his father, it was already done. It was all over. And his father was speaking about future things as if they'd already happened. Hallelujah. Do you know that's how God looks at us? And I just remember, like, he wrote a book, actually, about freedom. I forget the title. Freedom from the Fear of Death or something along that path. You download it for free on the internet. But, you know, if some of our friends who've gone to be with the Lord could come back, I think the first thing they tell us is, look, the Father loves you. I mean, if there's sin in your life, yeah, repent. We're not excusing that, but God is not mad at you. He's not disappointed with you. God is not disillusioned with you. God sees everything in your life. God has no illusions whatsoever about you. He sees you and he loves you because he sees you in his son, Christ Jesus. And he sees you through the eyes of promise. He sees you through the eye of faith. And I tell you, the Lord wants us to wake up every day and to have that attitude about our life that we're going to, come on, we're going to, today is our, it may not be my last day on planet Earth, but it's my last May, I don't know, 30th, is it? What date is it? 26th. Oh, it's the last time we'll ever get to live this day. And let's make it a good one. Come on, let's make it a good one. Let's walk by faith. Let's not get pulled aside by a little distraction. Don't get in some silly little argument with this kind of thing. Let's brush aside all those things. You know, again, if you read Hebrews, by faith, by faith, by faith, by faith, by faith, they parted the Red Sea. By faith, they brought the walls down. By faith, Samson ripped the lion apart. By faith, Daniel told the lion to go to sleep. Sometimes you can use your faith in different ways in the same challenges. By faith. And then at the end of them, some of them died by faith. Some of them were offered the exit strategy, deny God, curse God. And like Daniel and Meshach and Abednego, they're like, take the easy road. No, our God can deliver us. He will deliver us. But even if he didn't, we're not bowing to your dumb idol. Yeah, we're going to have fellowship in the fiery furnace. And by faith, people died. By faith, people were sawn in two. By faith. And today, there are people on planet Earth who will die for the cause of Jesus Christ. There was a bunch of Christians hanged in the last week in Iran. You know, and that stuff's happening all the time. And we should be praying and supporting. Come on, Haiti. His dad used to go to Haiti. How many of you saw that young couple? Terrifying in a sermon, 2021, forgive me if I, you know, doing that, and yet, hallelujah. Come on, their testimony, their blood is more powerful than every flipping voodoo demon in the, excuse my Britishness. Come on, their blood that says we came here because Jesus loves Haiti. Hallelujah. That's powerful. They left a good testimony. Thank you, Jesus. I honestly don't feel I'm getting anywhere, but that's okay. Come on, verse 3. There are another 47 verses, but no, we won't do that. Things which are seen were made by things which can't be seen. The Bible says in Romans 4:17, Abraham called those things which are not as though they were. That's not just being positive. That's not just, I'm trying to be positive in life. You can get up every day and call things which are not as if they were. You can get up every day and say, Lord, thank you. All of my kids are walking with the Lord. You say, Graham, they're far from God. They're on drugs. They're doing this. No, I'm not denying that reality. I'm denying its permanency. I'm not denying your story. I'm denying the end of your story. I'm saying it doesn't take any faith to come before the Lord and say, this is what's happening. It takes faith to come and say, you gave me a promise, Lord. You gave me a promise for those kids, those grandkids. You gave me a promise, and I'm not backing down. I see that. I see the reality now, but I choose to look at something else. Fixing our eyes, not on the seen, but on the unseen. A person of faith will take God's word and frame it. That's the most solid thing in the world. And I tell you, Satan loves to bring fear on people. Satan loves to you know, I always talk about fear and greed are the two things that move Wall Street. You know, and I tell you, every time we're going into some bad season, we should be saying, Lord, what are you saying? You know, I don't know, but maybe somebody needs to hear this. It's interesting. Leah and I bought a home about 8-9 years ago now, something like that. Our home here. I don't know, whatever. I was just thinking about this today because I was looking through some records. It's interesting when COVID hit. Do you remember? How many remember COVID? Yeah. Everybody get a mask out? No. And it's funny, we'd had a home, I think about 4 years when COVID hit, something like that-ish. And, you know, we took out a mortgage, you know, mortgage, stretching out, whatever. Remember when the COVID thing hit, the stock market just went like, do you remember you couldn't buy toilet paper? I feel like life is going to over and whatever. And I just remember like watching all my investments going like, and just praying. And occasionally I'd go like, I'm going to sell this because it's getting worth less and less. And I just felt the Lord say, no. And every day I'd pray over it, and I'd be so tempted, like, God, if I would have sold what I had last week, I would have, you know, saved thousands. I'd still just stay. And then it sort of leveled out. And then I felt the Lord say, just buy. And suddenly, you know, within about 3 months, everything went back up and then started accelerating. And I'm just saying that as my testimony. I'm giving a good testimony and giving glory to God. I paid my whole mortgage off in that first 6 months of COVID. And it's like God took the wealth of the sinner, transferred it to the just. My point is God's got answers to every situation. Faith has answers. And it's nice to have the testimony afterwards, but when you're in the thing and all you've got is like God's word, that's when you've got to hang on. Come on, nearly done. Let me carry on reading. Verse number 4. By faith, Abel offered to God a more excellent sacrifice than Cain. Do you know, everything we offer to God, we need faith to offer it. It's interesting. I think two people can give $100 and God accepts one and rejects the other. I think two people can come into a church and sing the same song and the Lord loves one and sort of doesn't even hear the other. My point is, it's not about the words spoken. It's from the heart, isn't it? It's where it's coming from. I think at times people are trying to give and they think they're buying something from God. It's like they're paying off the Godfather or something. He's God and he's your father, but he's not the Godfather. Yeah? Make you an offer. You can't refuse. You know, he's like... And my point is, like, everything we bring to the Lord, it's not that God doesn't like vegetables and like the principle was one came in faith. One acted upon the word of God. One gave an offering of faith. The other came with an offering of his own sweat. So look what I made. I worked for these marrows, whatever, these zucchinis, whatever. It's like the Lord says, no, by faith, Abel offered a more excellent sacrifice than Cain. Though he obtained witness that he was righteous, God testifying of his gifts. Though he be, slow down, boy. Though through it, he being dead, still speaks. Come on, nearly done here, but let me wrap this up. Verse 5, by faith, Enoch was taken. Hallelujah. Somebody said, do you believe in the rapture?
Well,
it's in the Bible. I don't know where, when, how, what. I don't have the order of it figured out, but Enoch got raptured, didn't he? It's true. Yeah, that's it. John said he got too close. Can I tell you my end time theory? My end time theology has nothing to do with Satan, and it has nothing to do with the world or the United Nations or the, you know... It has everything to do with God. The Bible talks about a guy named Enoch who never went to the believers' convention once. Never went to a Christian bookstore. No God TV Victory Channel. No, nothing. I mean, all he probably had were a few, like, verbal, oral stories that were passed on from his fathers and his grandfather, his great-grandfather. At the time of Enoch, do you know something? Adam is still alive. Ever thought about that? Wow. Adam and Eve are still alive. And yet Enoch, the Bible talks about Enoch. He walked for a season, then Enoch walked with God. Yeah. Can we carry on reading here? Verse 5, by faith Enoch was taken so that he did not see death and was not found because God had taken him. But before he was taken, he had this testimony that he, Enoch, pleased God. For without faith it is impossible to please him. For he who comes to God must believe that he is and that he is the rewarder of those who diligently seek him. Hallelujah. Enoch was a man of faith. And the only way of walking with God is walking by faith and not by sight. And Enoch pleased God, not because, did that mean he never had a problem, never had an argument with Mrs. Enoch? Never spoke a harsh word to all the little Enochs? Yeah. Did Enoch always take the trash out? Hi, Sherry. The Bible doesn't say that, but he was a man of faith. And I tell you, without faith, we cannot please God. And I tell you guys, I just want to encourage you today, let's be people of faith. You say, well, I'm part of this group and that group. You know, I don't do tribes. I think there are Catholics who are born again, and there are Catholics who are Catholics. And there's probably Orthodox who are born again, Orthodox who are just, you know, and there are Protestants who are born again, and some, it's just their tradition, their religion, their whatever. The Lord knows who are his. And God wants us to be people of faith. Let's be people of faith for the rest of our life. Faith sees. Faith has vision when nobody else has vision. Faith sees what God sees. Faith doesn't see. My point is, faith chooses not to see. Faith has blinkers. Faith doesn't allow Satan to look at this or look at that. Faith chooses not to see some things, and faith chooses to see what God sees. Faith says. Faith speaks. Not just imagining silly, you know, God will give me 20 jet planes this afternoon. No, he won't. If you don't need 20 jet planes, why? That's just silliness. You know, when the Bible speaks about confession, it's not saying take some goofy thing and say it a million times. It says take God's word, God's promises, the things that Jesus died and paid for that he said. You have a right to take God's word and say, I am the righteousness of God in Christ. You have the right to take God's word and say, I am a new creation. I am in Christ. All things have passed away. All things have been made new. You have a right to say, all things are working together for my good because I love God. I am the called according to his purpose. You've got a right to say, I pass from darkness into light. You've got a right to say, I've been delivered from the power of darkness, and I'm translated into the kingdom of the Son of his love. You've got a right to say, Jesus is my healer. He's my Lord. He's my provider. He's my way maker when there is no way. You've got a right to, that's not being positive. Those things are true whether you believe them or not, but they become true when you grab a hold of them, put them in your heart, in your mind, in your mouth, in your prayers, in your songs. And I just think, want to encourage you today, let's be a people of vision. But not in some corporate, cheesy way. Let's be a people of faith. Let's have so much vision that everybody we go to, we see their life through the eye of God. Let's go to people. Let's go to the unconverted and say, that's not who you are. Heaven says, you're a free man. You're a forgiven. You don't know it yet, but you're forgiven in God's eyes. Now, be reconciled with God. There's something you need to do, but in God's eyes, God has redeemed the whole world, and he's given to us the ministry of reconciliation. We can go to the lost and say, God's dealt with your sin problem. Now you need to deal with it. You repent and receive the gift of forgiveness. Be reconciled with God. You're estranged from God right now. Be reconciled. And guys, if we can become a people of faith, hallelujah. Come on, I want to pray three things today, and then we'll call it. But I want to pray that the Lord will wipe out yesterday. Let's not carry around the baggage of what didn't work or what somebody said or what mom and dad said or whatever. Sometimes we're carrying around unbelief that we've inherited, things in our culture, different things. God, faith makes everything new. Amen. I want to pray that the Lord will open our eyes, that we'll be a people who see. I mean, I believe God can give us dreams and visions, but I mean more than that. It says in Hebrews 11, 27, by faith, Moses saw he who is invisible. Isn't that a good? It says, by faith, Moses triumphed because he saw he who is invisible. All the way through Hebrews 11, by faith, by faith, by faith. And it ends up in Hebrews 12, which says, now it's our turn. Seeing we're surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses, let us run our race with perseverance, with patience, with endurance. We've got a great cloud of witnesses. Leah's dad is joined with them yesterday, and they're not going, oh, I wish I was there. They're going, thank God I'm not there. They're saying, I ran my race. I carried the baton. Catch. Over to you. But they're cheering us on. Come on, they're not far away floating in a cloud. They're more real than we are. They're more solid than we are. They're more alive than we are. And they're saying, come on, don't get distracted. Every weight, every sin that entangles, every little silly little thing, run with perseverance your race. And then they tell us how to do it. Three words, looking unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of our, not their faith, our faith. How do we get, Abraham gives us an example, some good, some bad, but Abraham's message today is look at Jesus. David's message is look at Jesus. Enoch's message is don't look at me, look at looking unto Jesus. Hallelujah. And I would encourage you, let's live a life of vision. Let's be seers in the Spirit. Not like we who see the, I know some people, and you probably do too. It's funny, they don't tend to stay in a church like this so long. I know people who see in the Spirit a lot, or they think they do, but everything they see is dark and negative. Have you met those people and they're like, ooh, I see this horrible, ooh, I see a dark cloud, and it's never encouraging. The Bible says prophecy is edification, exhortation, and comfort. It doesn't take a lot of faith to see darkness. It takes faith to see light in a dark place. And it's not a spiritual gift to go seeing what's wrong with everybody else. You don't have the gift of discernment. You have the gift of criticism. Not you guys, just the other church down the road. No. Come on, that's not a spiritual gift to see what's wrong. It's a spiritual gift. Here's what a spiritual gift is. To go when somebody's in the course and you see the gap between where they are and where they should be. And instead of pointing out you're not where you should be, you stand in the gap. You fill the gap. You encourage them. You say, hey, you're struggling now, but this is who you are. This is who God says you are. I know you're not seeing it yet, but I want to help you close the gap, fill the gap. That's what it means to stand in the gap, to close the space between our actual and our potential, between where we are and between who heaven says we are. Come on, let's pray together and we'll. Father, we thank you. Thank you for a people of faith. Lord, I thank you. We call this church the household of faith. Thank you for a household. Thank you for a family. Lord, I thank you for people who are still discovering who they are in Jesus, who are still unpacking the faith. And Lord, I pray today you'll just wipe out the past. I pray the blood of Jesus will cleanse us, even cleanse our mind, our conscience from dead works. Lord, wash away yesterday. Wash away the words that can dominate our hearts. Wash away the lies. Wash away the cultures. Even in, we honor this culture, but it isn't a perfect culture. It isn't the culture of heaven. And Father, everything which is not Jesus, wash it away in us. And Father, make us that people of faith, by faith. I pray, Father, let it be said of this house, by faith, John, by faith, Kathy, by faith, Amy, by faith, Matt, by faith, Anya, and by faith, Kim. Let us knock walls down. Let us build. Let us plant. Let us uproot. Let us train. Let us send. Let us fulfill the purpose of God in our generation. Rescue us from being busy. Rescue us from eating field mice when you had a feast for us, Lord. We want to be the antelope people, not the field mice people. And Father, I just pray that we will dream by faith, live by faith, sleep by faith, walk by faith, conquer by. And Lord, I even pray that we will die by faith. Yeah, let faith be. Let our lives be pleasing to you. And we pray, we believe, we receive in Jesus' name. Amen. Hallelujah. Hey, guys, just three quick reminders. We'll have our prayer team up here again. If anybody'd like any prayer for anything at all, happy to pray for you. Again, we've got a meeting. We'll probably start that in about 10 minutes. So if you're on the greeting team or you want to come in that meeting, we'd love to have you there. But we're going to start promptly in about 10 minutes downstairs in the cafe. Great. There is some food. I think Liam and Noah have been preparing some food in the cafe. So please do stay. Have some lunch. Have lunch on us. Coffee, food downstairs in the cafe. And we love you guys. Bless you in Jesus' name.